The views and opinions expressed on Unlock Your Wealth Radio are those of the host, guests, and callers only, and not necessarily the views of Unlock Your Wealth Radio, Heather Wagenhals, or Success Publishing International.
More willpower than a barefoot woman at a shoe sale. Able to stretch a single paycheck for an entire month. Makes money concepts easier than third grade math. Introducing your perv year of prosperity, Heather Wagenhals.
Work all day, stress all night. Take your mind off your money, focus on your life. Money don't matter or the stuff it bought. It's the way you think, not what you got, yeah.
Unlock Your Wealth Radio starts now.
Get your money mind right.
Welcome to the show, everyone. I'm Heather Wagenhals on this week's Unlock Your Wealth Radio. Today, I am joined by my illustrious producer, the ever-popular, handsome, totally good-looking Jeremy Shane Murphy.
Feels so special. Is my makeup blushing? No. That doesn't make sense.
Well, if you had enough
on... Is my face blushing behind the makeup?
I can't tell, because there's makeup on.
Oh, okay.
In any case, it's the show you have all been waiting for. Whoopee! Cartwheels! Yay! Applause! Insert applause now. Or fake applause from your gargling from your lunchtime drink. It's Break the Budget for this week's Key in our Keys to Riches Financial Wellness series. Our money word of the day will also be brought to you by the ever-popular Jeremy Shane. And Minutes on Your Money this week is a bit scary. It's about how hospitals are able to make a profit off of you, and you will not like the way they're doing it.
Ugh.
Exactly. That's why. And this week's trivia question will be based on last week's show, Hope for the Best, Plan for the Worst. And our guest for this week's show about the Virtue of Money book, Daniel Arthur Nelson, will be joining us a bit later. As always, we will talk about your money, your credit, and how to get ahead in any economy. We will also show you how to manage your money easier, saving time, reducing stress, using our proven techniques for you to create unlimited wealth and happiness. I'm so excited for today's show.
So am I.
I'm glad to hear that. Yay! So let's get started, shall we, with this week's trivia question?
Let's do it. Please do.
For those
Hurry
of
up.
You...
Are you starting it?
Give me a minute. This week's trivia question, always based on a previous show. So, regular listeners, you have an edge up on the competition, but never fear. UnlockYourWealthRadio.com is here. Go download last week's broadcast, and you too can have a chance to win fabulous prizes. Yeah. That's a lovely expression. If we were only on TV, folks could see how joyful you are about the opportunity to win.
Cool. I'm doing my happy dance.
Yeah, but you're not moving.
Inside, I'm doing my happy dance.
Oh, okay. Is that where the happy dance is? Okay.
My eyebrows are happy dancing.
Yeah, they're still not moving. But anyway, for those of you who are curious, this week's question is... What is Jeremy Shane's biggest financial fear? What is Jeremy Shane's biggest financial fear? For those of you who listened last week and think you know the answer, you can win one of three ways. You can call in at area code 718-508-9002. That's 718-508-9002. Or if you're online, hop into the chat room. I'm right here hoping to take your winning answer. Or you may email in to win if you're listening from download at trivia@uywradio.com. That's trivia@uywradio.com. And for those of you who are Insiders Club members, you are automatically entered in our weekly giveaways. That is an effortless way to win. So if you are not a member and would like to compete for great free money management tools, all you have to do is surf over to our website at unlockyourwealthradio.com and sign up to become an Insiders Club member today. Now, Mr. Murphy?
Yeah.
I'm pretty scared about your Minutes on Your Money article.
Oh, me too.
Would you like to share with us why I am fearful?
I think this is kind of goes along with something that everybody already sort of knows. Now, this was actually from, I believe, CNN Money. Is that correct?
It could be.
Hospitals profit more from surgical complications. Yeah. So I don't think they actually want to hurt people, but they don't. It doesn't hurt their feelings too much financially.
Really?
Apparently not. Basically, the bottom line, I'm just going to hit the highlights here, are that if you have private insurance or Medicare, you can actually, the hospital makes more money off of it. And on average, if you have private insurance, hospitals' profit margins are 330% higher on average than somebody with no complications.
How many percent again?
330% higher than somebody who has no complications. If you have complications and you have private insurance, costs are up to 300 on average 330% higher.
That's nuts.
And if you have Medicare, it's 190% higher.
Oh, thank goodness for the federal government.
Yes, saving us money right and left.
Yeah, but how many of those people die? That's what I want to know.
Well, luckily, they don't try to kill people, obviously. They just profit from complications.
So, because I guess if you're dead, then you can't be complicated anymore.
That's right. They want to keep you alive, and that's why they're there, to help people. But it is still a business, and they're trying to make
money. But it's better
to
keep you complicated.
Yes. Everything's complicated. Why not make money off of it?
I suppose. Well, I'm going to tell you one thing that isn't going to be complicated much longer. Our interview with Daniel Arthur Nelson coming up. Plus, this week's key, breaking your budget. Break the budget, and so much more. Also, our fabulous money word of the day coming up on the Keys to Riches segment. You are listening to Unlock Your Wealth Radio. I'm Heather Wagenhals with Jeremy Shane Murphy, and we'll be right back with more coming up after this.
Commander Marty Logan here from the Top Gun Seminars. What I've learned over the years is that the most successful people in life have coaches to guide them along their chosen path. Wayne Gretzky, Michael Jordan, Tony Stewart, Tom Hopkins, Kathy Colby all had coaches. Whether it was their father, someone else's father, or another person who helped them to shape their desires into an achievable path to success with a system of accountability where quitting was the only way to fail. Each of these people had someone who didn't see them as they first were, but as the person inside they knew they could easily become. Financial coaching can be the single addition you need to become financially independent. Call the Unlock Your Wealth Foundation now for your free consultation. 1-866-966-9420. That toll-free number again is 1-866-966-9420. Or visit us on the web at www.unlockyourwealth.com.
Like, has your cell phone or iPod ever totally run out of battery before? Maybe you're somewhere without power, like fishing, camping, or the beach. Now you can have all the power you need. The K3 Charger by Kinesis Industries uses wind and sun to charge your devices anytime, day or night. Use the wind and sun to store up charging power or charge your device right on the spot. Available now for $99.95 at www.kinesisindustries.com. That's Kinesis, K-I-N-E-S-I-S, Industries.com. Like, go there totally!
Greenback is your neighborhood lender for auto title loans. We offer fast and easy cash title loans for cars, trucks, and motorcycles. Keep your car with title loans from $100 to $50,000. There are no year or mileage limits at Greenback, and we offer the cheapest rates in Arizona, guaranteed. For more information, visit greenbacktitleloans.com or call 480-926-6666.
Are you a referral partner of Unlock Your Wealth Radio? Would you like to promote your products and services on our show? Learn about the benefits that our featured advertisers receive being a part of an exclusive program where the listeners are seeking financial independence and are in need of your insurance, finance, real estate, and investment services. Call 866-966-9420. That's 866-966-9420. Call now.
Welcome back to the show, everyone. I am your maven of moolah, Heather Wagenhals. And it is now time for our money word of the day. Professor Murphy?
Yeah.
Do you have this week's money word of the day?
I do. Money word of the day. Two words. Several syllables. Definition of compound interest is... Cue the crickets. Interest, which is calculated not only on the initial principal, but also the accumulated interest of prior periods. Compound interest differs from simple interest in that simple interest is calculated solely as a percentage of the principal sum. The equation for compound interest is P equals C times 1 plus R divided by N to the nth power.
Provocative. Interesting.
Uncue crickets.
Yes. Turn those blasted crickets off. So compound interest sounds complex.
It sounds complex, but the basic idea is simple, I think.
Well, it's what we want. We want the power of compound interest working in our favor because that's where our money earns money, and that money that the money earned earns money. And that money that the money earned, that the money's earning, is also earning interest. And a simpler way to calculate, I mean, I love your Professor Murphy sophisticated formula.
I can go back and reread it if you want.
No, thank you. I think we got that the first time. The more simple way, the layman's way to calculate it, is to figure out how often it will take your money to double. And there's a simple formula. It's called the Rule of 72. So if you want to know how long it'll take your money to double, and when I say double, we're talking in an exponential fashion. You take whatever the given interest rate is, not APR from a previous show.
Not APR.
But the actual interest rate you're going to earn. So the simple way to calculate compound interest is to figure out how quickly will my money double. That's the true question. That's what the power of compound interest does. So if we talk about the power of compound interest, all we have to do is use this rule of 72. So whatever the annual interest rate is, and I'm going to give you a ginormous one, but I could do the math in my head, so you can figure out how long it'll take your money to double. So if your interest rate is 12%, which is a smoking deal, let me tell you.
Very smoking.
It's very difficult to get that. There are only a few industries that you can invest in that I know of.
The good part is I'm fairly positive I can go get a loan at 12% interest.
Yes, and I would be delighted to be the one to give that to you. Thank you very much. So the power of compound interest, let's say, for example, our interest rate is 12%. I divide 72 by that interest rate number. So if the given rate is 12%, it's going to take my money how many years to double?
Divide 12% by 72.
I'm asking you to – you can do that in your head.
I don't have my calculator on me.
Oh, my Lord. We are going to have to send Professor Murphy back to school. It's 6.
Perfect.
6 times 12 is 72. Didn't you do times tables?
Of course I did, but I use a calculator now. I'm out of school.
Oh, my goodness. So 6 years to double. So if you have $100 invested at 12%, in 6 years, it'll be $200. In another 6 years, it'll be how much?
More.
$400. Then it goes to 8, then 16, then 32. Come on now.
I mean, that's a great concept, but I think I'd hopefully have more than $100 in there.
Yes, but the power comes when you leave it
alone.
Yes. Okay, at least we're on the same page there. So if you just take any interest rate, if you're looking at a bond that has a 6% coupon, it'll take 12 years for it to double. It's just that easy. So take whatever the given interest rate is, and that'll tell you how long it'll take your money to double. And that's the key, because that's where the power of compound interest has its value, is in later years. The longer you leave it alone, the more power it has. So if you just took that $100 and added a zero to it, if you started with $1,000, you got $2,000, then $4,000, then $8,000, then $16,000. So the more you add to it, on top of letting it alone, if you continue to feed the beast, you'll have an incredible monster of wealth later on down the road. And that's the beauty of compound interest. So I just thought that was a good word.
It is a good word. I like that word.
I just know that when it comes to doing the books here at the radio show,
yeah,
I'll be in charge.
Have you ever heard the term of when mom used to ask you to do the dishes, you just started breaking them?
What?
Yeah, have you ever did that when you were a kid?
No.
Your mom asked you to do the dishes, you just start breaking them, and guess what you don't have to do anymore?
Oh, dishes.
You don't do the dishes anymore. It's not rocket science.
We had plastic plates. Do you know how hard it would... You know how kind of whack I would have to give a plate, a plastic plate, in order to break it? That would,
you have no idea what kind of strength I have.
Well, perhaps you, but when I was a kid, I wasn't breaking plates. But I will be breaking the budget in a little bit with our keys. But first, we must have our featured guest. Would you like to meet this guy?
Absolutely.
This is the author of The Virtue of Money, How Money Contributes to Peace, Happiness, and Goodness. Did you know that it could?
No.
Well, Daniel Arthur Nelson is going to share that with us. If you think about all the myths that you've been taught about money, that it does not contribute to peace of mind, material things do not contribute to happiness, we can never honor things if we use them as a means to self-enhancement. Well, Daniel Arthur is going to share with us why that just isn't so. He comes from a blue-collar background. He dropped out of college, and he worked in a foundry for a meager wage until he completed his education and figured out the virtue of money. So let's meet Daniel Arthur Nelson. Welcome to the show, Daniel.
Thank you. It's great to be here. I always enjoy talking about my philosophy.
And that is precisely why you made it as a guest on today's show, because your philosophy caught my attention because it's so in your face and so forward and startling to many people, although it's correct in my view. And let's talk about the virtue of money and how money can be the root of many good things.
Yes, absolutely. A desire for money is actually a proper and moral desire to have because money ethically earned provides for a better quality of life. Money provides for enrichment of body, mind, and soul. Money can be used for education. Money can be used for charitable giving. Money can be used for much good.
I think that we've gotten mired in so many different things when it comes to beliefs, and whether it stems from religion or society or politics or media, for some reason there is this prevailing notion that there's virtue in poverty. And I actually think, isn't that a chapter in your book?
Yes, it is. There's a chapter called No Virtue in Poverty, and I talk about that. And yeah, there's very many religions and even a lot of New Age philosophers that put forth this view that there is virtue in poverty, or that having less money somehow makes you a better person. And I actually believe the exact opposite is true. If you are a good person, you can always do more good with more money. There have actually been several bestsellers published recently that put forth the view that economic growth is evil, and that material goods are evil. And actually, the book was the result of was kind of fortuitous in that I was debating with a married couple who had recently come to followers of a philosopher to put forth the view that economic growth was evil and financial success was evil and material goods were evil. And I debated with them back and forth for weeks via email. And eventually I realized this could make for a good book. So I started to actually copy and paste the emails into a Word document and pour them into chapters, and hence my book was born.
You know, Shane and I had a discussion on another show about how this taxing and punishing the rich is counterintuitive for a government that collects and makes its money based on taxes. And, you know, what do you think about that whole, we want you to make money, but then we're going to take it from you, de-incentivizing individuals?
Wow. Well, that's something I could talk about for an hour, probably. I do touch on in the book about economic theory, and I do put forth the view that there are some people that believe that that wealthy people are evil, and yes, there are some wealthy people that are evil. There are some wealthy people that are righteous, but money properly, ethically earned, can be used for a lot of good things. And I talk about the difference between capitalism and communism, and I point out that economic exploitation can occur in any kind of economic system. And that has occurred in capitalistic societies, but it has also occurred in communistic societies. So, you know, that can occur in any economic system by whomever has the economic power. But that doesn't mean that that every person that earns money is evil. I mean, as long as the money that you make is earned through your own honest efforts and through a positive contribution to society as a whole, then there's no evil in making and having money.
For detractors who maybe aren't familiar with your philosophy, but they get caught off guard by the title, The Virtue of Money, how do you address your detractors when they say that, you know, money is the root of all evil or money can't be used for good?
Well, money is the root of, can be the root of some evil, but the money can also be the root of much righteousness. There is nothing wrong with wanting money for the pleasures that quality entertainment can provide. There is nothing wrong with wanting to send your children to the finest schools and universities if you can afford to do so. There is nothing wrong with wanting to travel and see distant lands if that is something you enjoy. There is nothing wrong with having large sums of money in retirement accounts so you can look forward to a healthy and old age. None of these are sordid desires. I very much appreciate the quote from Albert Camus when he said, "Is a kind of spiritual snobbery that makes people think they can be happy without money." Also, too, you need to consider that if you have more, you are able to give more. I'm also reminded of a quote from Margaret Thatcher. She said, "No one would have remembered the Good Samaritan if he only had good intentions. He had money as well."
That is key, and I think people lose that when they get on their righteous high horse and try to say that money is a problem for individuals. I think that my personal belief is that money is just a magnifier. So if you are a good steward of money and you manage money well and you do good works with your money, more money means more of those great things. But if you mismanage your money and are a poor steward of your money or not a steward at all, that you're going to just have more problems and more issues.
Yes, I would pretty much agree with that. Money is simply a symbol of exchange of goods and services. And as long as that money is justly earned in an ethical manner, then that symbol is a symbol of great good and is praiseworthy and desirable. I don't think that one should castigate the wonderful blessings and goodness of money, as well as the blessings and goodness that money can bring, that is, economic security and material goods that enrich body, mind, and soul. One should not underestimate the peace and happiness that money brings, nor should one condemn the love of money. On the contrary, I believe the sensible and moral view is that the love of money, properly balanced, is indeed righteous.
Now, one of the things that comes to mind as I'm thinking about money, and one of the things that we talk about with our brain-based version of financial literacy, is that what we think about, we bring about. And perhaps you can start this conversation of what happens to us when we believe that money is bad or that the accumulation of wealth is bad.
That is an excellent question. I think this belief that money is evil, or that money, or that poverty brings greater peace of mind, or that poverty makes you a better person, is a very deleterious view. I have known individuals who actually intentionally chose college majors that resulted in low-paying positions because somehow they felt that this made them a better person. I'm reminded of a friend of mine who, in her home, she does not own a television. She does not own a stereo. She lives a very Spartan life because she has this belief in her mind, this false belief, that if she buys a television set or a stereo, that somehow she's going to cause babies to starve over in Africa. But this is based on a bogus economic theory that there is there's a limited supply of resources. Just real quick to some of the theory, like Baldwin's spaceship theory of economics, like the Earth is a spaceship and it's traveling through space and there are a limited number of resources. That's actually false. If you consider, many resources are actually replenishable. For example, We eat food all the time, but new food is grown every year. We continually, clothing continually wears out, but wool, cotton, silk, other materials needed to produce clothing is produced every year. We cut down trees for wood every year, but new trees are grown every year. So with scientific forestry, at least in theory, we should never run out of a supply of wood. So, I mean, this notion that there are that there are limited resources, I think, you know, results in the kinds of behavior of my friend that I just described. She could afford have a lot of these material goods in her home, but she doesn't do it because, like I said, she believes that somehow this is going to cause poverty in the world. Actually, the exact opposite is true. Ignoring the details of Keynesian economics for a moment, well, let's look at Peter Singer's argument about buy and support car. He says he wonders that the virtue of buying a sports car when their baby's starving in Africa. This implies that buying a sports car causes babies to starve over in Africa, which is not true. If one purchases a sports car, I'm ignoring the details of Keynesian economics to keep this simpler. One's providing employment to the people who work in the auto plant, to the salespeople who work on the floor, and to the mechanics who work in the garages repairing the cars. There are enough resources in the world such that everyone who wants a sports car can have one, and at the same time, everyone can be nutritiously well-fed. If babies are starving over in Africa, it's not because of lack of resources. It's because resources are not being utilized. Resources are not being utilized efficiently. And this view that poverty is righteous and or that wealth is evil is actually creating more poverty in the world. Because the more people that have a proper moral desire for financial success and money, the more that will be achieved and the more wealth that will be actually created in the world. So, yeah, I agree with the statements you made earlier that, these beliefs in the mind actually can produce wealth or can produce poverty.
And I want to continue this discussion about the difference between a scarcity mentality and a previous money word of the day, an affluent mentality. You are listening to Unlock Your Wealth Radio. We will be right back with more coming up after this.
Commander Marty Logan here from the Top Gun Seminars. What I've learned over the years is that the most successful people in life have coaches to guide them along their chosen path. Wayne Gretzky, Michael Jordan, Tony Stewart, Tom Hopkins, Kathy Colby all had coaches. Whether it was their father, someone else's father, or another person who helped them to shape their desires into an achievable path to success with a system of accountability where quitting was the only way to fail. Each of these people had someone who didn't see them as they first were, but as the person inside they knew they could easily become. Financial coaching can be the single addition you need to become financially independent. Call the Unlock Your Wealth Foundation now for your free consultation. 1-866-966-9420. That toll free number again is 1-866-966-9420. Or visit us on the web at www.unlockyourwealth.com.
Like, has your cell phone or iPod ever totally run out of battery before? Maybe you're somewhere without power, like fishing, camping, or the beach. Now you can have all the power you need. The K3 Charger by Kinesis Industries uses wind and sun to charge your devices anytime, day or night. Use the wind and sun to store up charging power or charge your device right on the spot. Available now for $99.95 at www.kinesisindustries.com. That's Kinesis, K-I-N-E-S-I-S, industries.com. Like, go there totally.
Greenback is your neighborhood lender for auto title loans. We offer fast and easy cash title loans for cars, trucks, and motorcycles. Keep your car with title loans from $100 to $50,000. There are no year or mileage limits at Greenback. And we offer the cheapest rates in Arizona, guaranteed. For more information, visit greenbacktitleloans.com or call 480-926-9000.
6666.
Are you a referral partner of Unlock Your Wealth Radio? Would you like to promote your products and services on our show? Learn about the benefits that our featured advertisers receive being a part of an exclusive program where the listeners are seeking financial independence and are in need of your insurance, finance, real estate, and investment services. Call 866-966-9420. That's 866-966-9420. Call now.
Welcome back to the show, everyone. You are listening to Unlock Your Wealth Radio. I am she, Heather Wagenhals, joined by none other than Jeremy Shane Murphy and our very special guest, Daniel Arthur Nelson. And before the break, we were talking about scarcity mentality, abundance mentality. And over the break, you brought up some interesting statistics about poverty. Would you share that conversation we were just having?
Sure, absolutely. If I may digress for just 1 minute, I remember two centuries ago in 1798, Thomas Malthus made the now infamous prediction that the world would soon not be able to produce enough food for an ever-increasing population. But Malthus could not see the improvements in technology, first the steel plow, the reaper, the invention of dwarf wheat. All this allowed us to grow more food on less acreage with even less human labor. More recently, in 1968, Paul Tillich published a bestseller called The Population Bomb, predicted worldwide famine for the next two decades to come. That never transpired. But interestingly, poverty, wealth, with population increase, we've actually also increased wealth in the world. According to the World Bank, there is some 1.1 billion people that live in extreme poverty today. Now, that sounds bad. However, a generation ago, the proportion was roughly one-third. Two generations ago, the proportion was closely to one-half. So I think that is a very significant stat that actually show that wealth has actually been increasing, even as the the world population has been increasing. And economist Jeffrey Sachs has made the assertion that it would only take $100 billion, about one-seventh of the annual military defense budget of the United States, to completely eliminate most of the world's poverty within a decade. I think Sachs is at least theoretically correct, although I'm not advocating worldwide welfare either. I'm reminded of the aphorism, give a man a fish, he eats for a day, teach a man a fish, he eats for a lifetime. Mm-hmm. But again, this goes back to what I said at the first part of the show. I think this notion that there is limited resources and that the world is running out of wealth, I think, is all based on bogus economic theory.
Mm-hmm. But that's what drives our markets. That's what drives the stock market, just all the way down to our retail establishments, to the local community souks and marketplaces where people exchange goods and services. There's this element of scarcity that drives pricing. And so do you think we need to have a scarcity mentality, or can we work with an abundant mentality?
I think we should think in terms of abundance, because I see nature as a vast, virtually inexhaustible storehouse. Someday the wind and sun might be used to produce energy on a vast scale, and the asteroids might be mined for minerals. New forms of energy might actually be invented. There's a chapter in my book called Count Your Blessings, and I talk about how the standard of living and the quality of life has remarkably increased. My mother, just one generation removed from me when she was a little girl, she often went without nutritious food, and she didn't have indoor plumbing. And my grandmother used to save rainwater in a barrel, and the whole family used to bathe in that one one barrel of rainwater. Look where we have come today. If you would take somebody from third world country and take them to the poorest communities in America, they would not likely see the individuals there as poor. Most of those people would probably have a color television in their home, perhaps a video recorder, telephone. Some might even have air conditioning. When I was a boy, I would have never imagined that someday I would live to see a world where the average person can walk into a store and purchase a computer that would fit in your shirt pocket, that would have tremendously more computing power than the computers at that time that cost over $1 million and filled up an entire room. I mean, that would have seemed to be outside the realm of possibility. Yet that is what happened. And I would have never have thought that I would someday live to see a world where the average home in developed countries had one or more computers connected to other computers in a worldwide network. I mean, and we have this today, and no one would have believed that a generation ago, that we would have achieved that kind of technological advancement that quickly, yet it actually has happened. And I think that, but when it happens, the people take it for granted. And I don't think they should. I think they should recognize, you know, the good things that they have in their life and their good quality of life.
I agree with you. So if money is a mindset, and if changing our mindset is where we need to be in order to change our personal financial economy, as well as our global economy as contributors economically to that, how do we begin that mindset change?
Well, I think that if you look at the logical arguments that I put forth in my book, no, I think you're right. I mean, money does actually begin in the mind. If you have this view that money is evil and that you're a better person if you're in poverty, et cetera, that is going to actually produce more poverty in the world. But I think as long as you realize that a pursuit of money is actually a virtuous pursuit, as long as you don't do anything unethical to earn that money, like I said, as long as it's made through your own honest efforts and through a positive contribution to society as a whole, and you realize that that is virtuous, and the more people that adopt that kind of philosophy, the more wealth will actually be created, and more wealth will come about in the world, and that will actually result in more tangible wealth in our three-dimensional earth plane by people just developing that kind of moral philosophy and proper attitudes towards money.
I have an interesting thing to throw in the mix. What if the money was earned unethically? Could it still be used for ethical purposes? You know, like ill-gotten gain, but you contribute charitably in some way. Can you change the karma of your money?
Well, if it's used for good purposes, that's a good thing, but it should not have been earned in an immoral manner in the first place. And there's no reason to do that with the plethora of opportunities that are available in today's modern world. There's no reason to accumulate money in any kind of an unethical manner. Like I said, there are enough opportunities that you can achieve wealth and do it in a way that everyone else involved is enriched and everyone else involved is benefited. And, you know, I mentioned in the book that there was a protest in my area not long ago against corporations in general. And I brought out, yes, there are unethical corporations. Enron comes immediately into mind. However, there are also corporations that are run with high ethical standards that provide employment to the individuals so they can support themselves and their family, and that provide needed goods and services to society. And I said in the book, if you do work for an unprincipled organization, I would beseech you to, you know, immediately take action to find another position, because no one would work for an unprincipled organization if they didn't have to. But to answer your question, I can think of examples of individuals who did, I don't know if I should say his name, you might be thinking of the individual. Right now he's giving a lot of his money away, although you know, in the early part of his career he was a ruthless businessman. But it's good that he is using his money for good now.
Mm-hmm.
But like I said, I don't think you have to do that in the first place. Mm-hmm. Money can be earned, and money can be earned in an ethical manner and used in an ethical manner. But yeah, it's better. If you have the money, it's better that it's used for good rather than evil.
Yeah, well, I just wanted to throw that in the mix. I thought that that would make for a colorful discussion. It's been wonderful having you on the show, Daniel. And if folks are interested in getting your book, how can they find you?
Well, they can. It's for sale in almost any online bookstore at Amazon.com, BarnesandNobles.com. You can also buy from the publisher, which is iUniverse.com. I also have a website called TheVirtueOfMoney.com. There's also a Facebook page, and I'm also on Authors Express.
Well, thank you so much for your time today. And for those of you who are driving around without a pencil, never fear. UnlockYourWealthRadio.com is here with all of our linky links to Daniel's books and resources. We will be right back. You are listening to Unlock Your Wealth Radio with Heather Wagenholt and Jeremy Shane Murphy. Coming up right after this.
Commander Marty Logan here from the Top Gun Seminars. What I've learned over the years is that the most successful people in life have coaches to guide them along their chosen path. Wayne Gretzky, Michael Jordan, Tony Stewart, Tom Hopkins,
Kathy Cole, they all had coaches, whether it was their father, someone else's father, or another person who helped them to shape their desires into an achievable path to success with a system of accountability where quitting was the only way to fail. Each of these people had someone who didn't see them as they first were, but as the person inside they knew they could easily become. Financial coaching can be the single addition you need to become financially independent. Call the Unlock Your Wealth Foundation now for your free consultation. 1-866-966-9420. That toll free number again is 1-866-966-9420. Or visit us on the web at www.unlockyourwealth.com.
Like, has your cell phone or iPod ever totally run out of battery before? Maybe you're somewhere without power, like fishing, camping, or the beach. Now you can have all the power you need. The K3 Charger by Kinesis Industries uses wind and sun to charge your devices anytime, day or night. Use the wind and sun to store up charging power or charge your device right on the spot. Available now for $99.95 at www.kinesisindustries.com. That's Kinesis, K-I-N-E-S-I-S, industries.com. Like, go there, totally.
Greenback is your neighborhood lender for auto title loans. We offer fast and easy cash title loans for cars, trucks, and motorcycles. Keep your car with title loans from $100 to $50,000. There are no year or mileage limits at Greenback, and we offer the cheapest rates in Arizona, guaranteed. For more information, visit greenbacktitleloans.com or call 480-926-6666.
Are you a referral partner of Unlock Your Wealth Radio? Would you like to promote your products and services on our show? Learn about the benefits that our featured advertisers receive being a part of an exclusive program where the listeners are seeking financial independence and are in need of your insurance, finance, real estate, and investment services. Call 866-966-9420. That's 866-966-9420. Call now.
Welcome back to the show, everyone. You are listening to Unlock Your Wealth Radio. I am she, your purveyor of prosperity, Heather Wagenhals, and I am joined by the illustrious Jeremy Shane Murphy.
Hi there. How y'all doing?
Thank you for joining us. We're well. Appreciate that you asking.
Yeah, okay. You're welcome.
Thanks. So, you know what time it is?
Time for the next segment to start.
That would be the keys to riches. For those of you joining us for the first time, welcome to the broadcast. We're so glad you stopped by. This week's key in our Keys to Riches financial wellness series is Break the Budget. We are in our seventh key. And the Keys to Riches is a baker's dozen of financial concepts that teach you how to think like the rich and be in control of your own money. It also gives you specific techniques to create or fix your credit, eliminate debt, save and invest, building wealth, all while transforming your current financial habits into healthy money management skills. And we do that 1 week at a time, one key at a time. And if you have been with us since the beginning of the season, this is the day that you can stop saving receipts because you are going to start breaking your budget. And the reason why I came up with this key is a budget is like a diet. It's something you go onto and off of, and usually the off of causes dire consequences. If you've ever noticed, people that do these I'm going to eat green beans for 3 weeks diet, and then they...
Ooh, that's terrible.
I like green beans.
Yeah, but for 3 weeks? I mean, come on.
Well, well, it's a diet, the green bean diet. But my point is...
My diet is a diet, too. It's a bad diet, but it's still a diet.
Okay, but look at how averse you are to that. So what's going to happen when you come off that diet? You're going to go nuts.
Eat everything on the planet.
There you go. So then that wrecks the whole point. You're probably going to be heavier than when you started. And that's what happens when people create these budgets, because they're restrictive, they're prohibitive, and more importantly, it sets the brain up for what? Doing without.
Right.
And what happens when we give something up?
You wanted that much more.
Ding, 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 ding. You are a winner.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Uh-huh.
So instead of having a budget that we go on to when we get into financial dire straits, and then off of when we get our crap together, only to go back onto it after we destroy ourselves financially again. Wouldn't it make more sense to create a healthy savings and spending plan?
Yeah, it would.
Okay. That's what this week's key is all about. Now, we all know to spend less and save more, correct?
Uh-huh.
I mean, if I didn't tell you that, you already knew that, right?
Well, that's what I've been told since I was a kid.
Okay, but have you always done that?
Not every single day.
Okay.
But I do my best. Okay. I'm actually fairly frugal.
Well, and I know that, but at some point in your life, because you see now, like, we are mature adults, but when we were young adults, were you spending less than you made?
Well, I did have to learn about it and understand how it worked.
Well,
luckily,
I was only
12 when I caught on.
Well, okay, so forget the child prodigy in the room. There are some of us, like moi, that had some challenges with that whole thing. And it had nothing to do with money. Why I couldn't manage money, because I knew to spend less and save more, but I had other plans. I had ideas about money. But I thought, well, gee, I'm just going to prove those people wrong. And guess what? You know what I proved? They were right all along. That's what I proved. But what I learned when I went nuts and spent more than I made and then had to figure out how do I pay for it all is that my spending had nothing to do with the money or my lack of knowledge, because I was a stockbroker, for goodness sakes. Of all the jobs to have and to be buried in debt, I was working in the money markets. Who's supposed to know better but me, right?
Yeah.
Well, I didn't. But what I did learn is that, and if you notice throughout all of the keys, for those of you who have been with us, that most of our problems with money have nothing to do with money. It has to do with our physiology. It has to do with our upbringing and our attitudes about money. So what we're going to do in this week's key is we're going to break the budget forever. We'll never do another one again. What we are going to do, though, is create a healthy savings and spending plan. So what you need to do is break out that envelope, and you are going to sort all of those receipts into categories. And those categories are available in a checklist at unlockyourwealthradio.com. All you have to do is click on this week's tab and find our nuts and bolts for this week's key, and you will also find our categories. You're going to break all these receipts down into these categories, because these categories will help us to strategize what it is that we're doing with our money. And the reason why we want to document this and why we had to do this organic assessment for so long is we're looking for two things, because it's not about how much we're spending, because if it's more than we make, we already know that that's the problem. So cutting back isn't going to be the answer, because once we get back on track, we're going to do the same thing over and over, because it's what? Pre-programmed behavior. So we're going to continue to repeat it unless we what? Identify these two things that are happening. And what we need to specifically look for is when these issues of overspending occur and go behind them to find out why. Because when we can peel those two layers back, the how to fix it is obvious. Wouldn't you agree?
I do agree with that. And in my business, for example, instead of showing people how to do it right and left and all the time and repeating it and repeating it and repeating it, I'll go in and I'll teach them why something has to be done, and then they figure out the how on their own.
There you go. So it's all about identification of issues. And that's what this category list is going to show us. It's not about, did we not set aside enough money for groceries, and that's why we kept going over our grocery budget, because we weren't realistic in what we needed to begin with. It's beyond that. And by using this category worksheet and planning out our finances over the 6-week period of time, we're going to learn that we spend differently at the beginning of the paycheck versus the end of the paycheck. And we learn that we are spend differently at the beginning of the month versus the end of the month. Because think about it, especially when you're young and you're footloose and fancy free, it's all about, woohoo, I got my paycheck, I'm going to go to the bar, first round's on me. But what happens before the next paycheck gets here? You're like, dude, can I bum a cigarette? Dude, can you buy me lunch? It's like Wimpy, I will gladly pay you Thursday for a hamburger today, right?
Absolutely.
So what we're going to do is we're going to peel back the layers and figure out why all of that's happening. Because when we get to the when and the why, the how becomes obvious. And then we are going to create our healthy savings and spending plan. And it's spoken that way in that particular order for a reason, because we are going to save first and spend what's left over. Because there's a point to paying yourself first. Because if you don't, paying yourself last may not come around.
But I do know that you also have to save what you pay yourself, because I know a lot of people that actually do pay themselves first, but they also spend that money.
Yes. And that's a topic for another Minutes on Your Money show, for sure.
Bo shizzle,
my nizzle. Well, that's it for this week's key. For this week's key statement, key affirmation, key commitment, and key action item, plus your categories list, please visit our website at unlockyourwealthradio.com and click on this week's key tab for more information. And for additional, more in-depth interviews with money experts, strategies, and members-only tools to fix your credit, get out of debt, and have more money and happiness, do what other savvy listeners have and visit unlockyourwealthradio.com, where you go to get your money mind right so your wealth and happiness will follow. I'm Heather Wagenhall.
And I'm Jeremy Shane.
And you have been listening to Unlock Your Wealth Radio. Now go out and unlock your wealth today.
UnlockYourWealthRadio.com is produced by Shane Murphy. UnlockYourWealthRadio.com and its affiliates are copyrighted 2013 with all rights reserved. For more information on the Keys to Riches Financial Wellness Series, please visit our website at www.unlockyourwealth.com.